Teams everywhere are dealing with a serious problem, a productivity problem. Don't worry, HubSpot's customer platform can help. No more time-consuming tasks, no more chasing down prospect info, no more one system for this, another system for that. HubSpot helps you find leads, reach prospects, and deliver the insights to convert them to customers all in one place, making your productivity problem no problem at all. Visit HubSpot.com to learn how they can help you grow better.
Okay, welcome to Monday. It's April 8th. I'm John Weigel here with Martina Bertou, and this is the Hustle Daily Show. Today, Martina Bertou, the editor of HubSpot's Nexon AI, comes back to give us the monthly AI update that we all so crave. We'll talk through some of the biggest updates from the AI industry in March and early April. On today's docket, we have Apple, Google, NVIDIA, the entertainment industry, and much more. So what can you expect for the rest of the month and beyond? We'll get into that in a bit, but first, let's give you the hits and headlines today in business and tech. Starting us off, Tesla is unveiling a new robotaxi on August 8th, at least according to Elon Musk's very brief post on X. Though Musk gave no details, he said in the past that Tesla would one day make fully autonomous cars. Next up, from Tesla to Meta. Meta was accused of flagging the Kansas Reflector's links as cybersecurity threats after the nonprofit newspaper published a column critiquing Facebook. Despite the post briefly being blocked on all Meta platforms, the company said it was just a mistake. Seems legit. Over to Snapchat. Snapchat will limit Solar System, a feature showing users which friends they interact with most. Parents complained it was posing mental health risks to teens by ranking friends, leaving me to wonder if any of these parents have ever experienced, MySpace. Moving on, the percentage of U.S. women in the C-suite of publicly traded companies has dropped for the first time since 2005. Women held 11.8% of 15,000 C-suite roles in 2023, which is down 12.2% in 2022. And finally, Walmart is paying out $45 million to settle a class action lawsuit alleging that it inflated the weight of grocery items, overcharging customers. The store denies wrongdoing, but agreed to the payouts anyway. Once again, seems legit. Okay, our main segment today is a huge discussion about this past month in AI. What updates do you need to know? What companies are at the forefront and what can we look forward to? To give us insight, I'm joined once again by Martina Bertou to discuss those questions. Welcome, Martina. Glad to have you back.
Hey, John. Happy to be back.
It's another month, ain't it?
It really is. The year is just flying by and we're in April. I can't believe it.
It is. I know. And every time we have this conversation every month, I always come back to it being like, it's been a month in my life, but I feel like it's been a year in artificial intelligence.
Yes.
It's just moving.
Things are just always flying. They're moving at the speed of light. And every time I think, is there going to be something new? There's probably 50 new things to discuss.
Definitely. And we're not even going to get to all of them today, probably.
We're not.
But we'll do our best.
Yes. That's all we can do.
Yes. So the first thing I wanted to get to is, in the past month, in March, in early April, has there been anything that has surprised you the most?
Yes. So the biggest thing that surprised me is related to Perplexity. So Perplexity is this AI-powered search engine, right? That's rivaling Google right now.
That's right.
And they just announced ad integration, which I feel like is a bold and really risky move because one of their biggest selling points was the fact that they were, quote, free from the influence of advertising-driven models, right? Mm-hmm. And I know for me and a lot of people, one of the biggest deterrents of Google is every time you go on there, you're just inundated with ads. And so the biggest selling point for Perplexity was that you could go on there, get the exact information that you need, and get out. And so now that they're introducing ads, it's kind of like, okay, well, are you still giving me the value that I'm looking for?
Very true. I feel like a lot of people were using it for the purpose that they didn't get inundated with ads. And also, it's an exciting new service. Mm-hmm. So a couple new reasons to use Perplexity. And I read a big old New York Times article on it a while back, and it seemed like quite a big deal. So to hear that they have ads now, it's a bit deflating. Their competitive edge against Google, I feel like, is kind of lost a bit.
Right, exactly. I read a whole Reddit thread this morning of people being like, as soon as they introduce ads, I'm canceling my subscription.
Wow.
People are not happy about this. I'm very curious to see how it's going to affect adoption. And apparently, according to them, it's been in their business model for a while. This isn't new, even though they kind of branded themselves as the anti-Google. Apparently, it's been something that they've been wanting to do. So I'm curious if they're going to balance revenue and user experience, because that's what we're looking for, a really good user experience.
Yeah. And I'm curious to hear if Google is going to capitalize on this at all and use an AI search engine. I mean, there was a story that came out this past month about Google and Apple possibly working together and Google possibly inputting their Gemini onto iPhones, because as we know, Apple's kind of been lagging in the AI race recently.
To say the least.
Yeah, to say the least. What do you make of that story?
So it's both surprising and unsurprising for different reasons. Surprising because you'd expect Apple to come up with its own LLM, right, to support its product, but apparently they're lagging behind on that. The technology just isn't ready yet. And it's unsurprising that it's Google, because they've been partners for a long time. Ever since the first iPhone, Google and Apple have been working together to help Apple's products. You know, Google is the default search engine on the iPhones. You also have Google Maps as like a core app on the iPhones. So if they were going to go with an external choice, Google is the perfect fit here.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense now that you say it, because you would never think that they work together so well and so often, considering that, you know, Google's got Pixel and Apple's got iPhones. You would think there would be a butting of heads, but right, it's nice to know that they could potentially work together to help out both parties.
I know, it's so interesting. You know, I feel like with Google being such a large company, Apple is their competitor in a lot of areas, but it's also their partner in a lot of areas. So it's an interesting balance. I mean, their legal department has to have a lot of work to
do. Yeah, papers are flying every day, I imagine, over there. So moving over from big tech more to the entertainment space, because I know that's a subject we keep hitting on every month. In March, Tennessee actually became the first U.S. state to prevent AI tools from replicating artists' voices without consent. Do you think this might be a pattern that we're going to see in other states? I know Tennessee is obviously big music state, Nashville, Memphis, but do you see that echoing out to any other states going forward?
Definitely. I could see this happening in other big music states like California, New York, Georgia. Those are states that have already had a really big focus on AI legislation. It's really been a lot about data privacy and employment and other sectors. But I could see them going into creative fields now that Tennessee has kind of set this precedent.
Yeah, I mean, it makes a lot of sense, because there is a lot of fear in these entertainment communities about voice replication and what that's going to do. I mean, a lot of voiceover artists, that's their entire job, you know?
Yes.
So I think that this AI coming in is scaring a lot of people. And also, SAG-AFTRA ratified a contract that will make producers gain consent to use an actor's voice to generate an AI version of their voice. So even going one step deeper, as not to say, oh, we're not going to replace the actor's voice, we're just going to take their voice and use it forever.
Oof.
So it seems like there's a lot of pushback happening in the industry. What do you make of that? Do you think that's going to be more par for the course going forward as well?
Oh, for sure. I think we saw during the writer's strike how scared entertainers have been of AI and what it means for the longevity of their careers and their earning potential. And from the outside looking in, Hollywood has always been this entity that kind of exploits and undercuts its entertainers. And so it's not a shocker to me at all that now that they're seeing this AI technology, they're like, hold up, how is this new thing going to affect our jobs? Because we know Hollywood is not going to be looking out for us.
No.
And so we have to be on offense and try to figure out how we can protect ourselves against this new technology. So I think it's just a continuation of artists looking to protect themselves.
Yeah. And, you know, there's been that back and forth between people looking to protect themselves, to protect their jobs. But also there's been kind of this other side of it, is that maybe we're not replaceable and maybe we need to be here to use the AI. Like, there needs to be somebody to accompany it. So that's just like a fascinating thing that I'm seeing in every industry right now, is that everybody's trying to work with rather than work against.
Right. They're trying to make sure that they're using AI and that AI is not using them, right?
Ooh.
So it's an interesting, I think, conflict that happens with a lot of artists. They obviously want their work to come first and their work to not be exploited by outside entities. But if AI could help their work in some way, help their creativity, that's something that they want to take advantage of. So it's a kind of a complicated relationship.
It is complicated. Something else that's a little complicated, or maybe not so complicated actually, is NVIDIA. They are doing so well in AI chip production. There's been so much interest in them in the past few months. I feel like a lot of these publications, Wired, New York Times, have been doing these deep dives on NVIDIA lately to kind of bring them out into the forefront a little more. Seems like they're trending upward every quarter with a $2.2 trillion market cap. My question for you is there any other person, entity, company that's able to kind of knock them down off this high horse or kind of move into their market?
There's a lot of people trying to. I think the sharks are circling right now, but it's going to be hard. Mm-hmm. So OpenAI is reportedly looking to create its own AI hardware for two reasons. One, to solve for shortage issues that they're having, but also to reduce their reliance on NVIDIA. So that's happening on one side. Now, one thing to know about NVIDIA is that their success is not only because of the AI chips, but it's also because of the software platform that they have called CUDA. Mm-hmm. And so now you have this group of tech companies that include Google and Intel that are trying to reduce developers' reliance on NVIDIA. They're creating this suite of software tools that are going to support various AI chips. And they're saying it's to promote production and choice in hardware. And it's really saying, NVIDIA, we don't want you to be on top all the time. We're going to try to level the playing field and give people other options so that they're not so reliant on you. If I was NVIDIA, I would definitely be paying attention.
Yeah, I mean, it's good to pay attention for them. They do have quite a head start. So it doesn't seem like, as you said, it'll be ending anytime very soon. But who knows with how fast things move nowadays.
Yeah, I think NVIDIA is in a really, really great spot. They had a conference in March and they announced two big things. One, this new chip that's supposed to be 30 times faster and 30 times more powerful than its predecessor, which is already incredibly successful. And this new project Groot, which is a general purpose foundational model for humanoid robots.
Whoa.
So the robots are coming and NVIDIA is going to be at the forefront making it happen. So because they're so innovative, it's going to be hard to knock them down. But it's not a David and Goliath situation. They are powerful, but they're also being circled by sharks that are also very powerful, like the Googles, sure. Like the Intels. And it's not quite a level playing field yet, but I could see the tide turning eventually.
I'm so sad that we're going to see more humanoid robots. I've actually been seeing a lot of stories recently of non-humanoid robots, and it's made me very happy.
Yeah.
We did a story this past week of this fast food restaurant where there's just an arm robot. It's just a single arm, like flipping patties and stuff. And I was like, that's great. I love that. Like, don't make it human. make it look like me.
A full human is actually terrifying. Every time I see those little robot dogs, I get creeped out.
Yeah. Yeah, I
don't
like those.
I hate the way they move. I hate the way they look. You. It creeps me out. And so, yeah, little parts of them is fine, but the combination is freaky.
No, do not make it replicate anything that I know. Please give me something different. And finally, last thing I wanted to ask you is for the upcoming month, for April, for the beginning of May, are there any companies that you think you'll be keeping your eye on specifically? You know, we talked about NVIDIA, we talked about Apple, Google, Microsoft even came up a little bit. OpenAI, of course. But going forward, is there anybody that you're kind of, I'm going to really keep my eye on you for the next month?
I know last month we talked about AI image generators and their impact on stock image and video companies like Getty, right?
Sure.
And so now there's this new company called Lumi that is empowering its creators, so illustrators, photographers, who also like to work with AI to create their artwork. Now they have stock photography on their website, lumi.ai. And I'm just really interested to see how that takes off. So we're going to have an article on it on Nexon AI, and we're going to be covering who Lumi is, the concept behind the company, the creators, if there's a pay structure, what that looks like for its creators, and what it means for the stock image industry, you know, for companies like Getty, like I mentioned. So yeah, look out for that.
Wow. That's really cool. I feel like once again, every month, every week, there's kind of a new exciting use. Like even I got to test out this past week, this one called Empathic Voice Interface, EVI.
Ooh.
And you're able to talk with it directly as if it's a human and it reads your emotions and responds accordingly with its own emotions.
I heard about that.
Very interesting. Yeah.
How was that?
Kind of weird. Mm. I think it knew that I wasn't fully about it because every time I asked it something, it would be like, you sound a little stressed and curious. it's like, stop.
That's so interesting. That's something that we actually just covered on the blog about how AI and if AI is making mental health more accessible and in what ways it's doing it. And so you have a lot of these AI powered apps like Metatopia, and is it effective? So you have these new platforms like EVI, and I'm curious how effective they are at helping people who may not have access to traditional resources like a therapist or an online platform like BetterHelp.
Yeah, I mean, that'll be interesting going forward. But yeah, I definitely will take a look at Lumi too, because it's hard to get creatives on board with this sort of thing. So creatives that actually want to try the AI is fascinating. I think the numbers are growing there.
Definitely.
Yeah. But anyways, thank you so much, Martina. It's been another great month, and we'll see you in May.
We'll see you in May. Thanks, John.
Head to the link in the description of this podcast to vote for the Hustle newsletter in the Webby Awards. We're a proud part of the HubSpot Podcast Network. Our editor today is Robert Hartwig, and our executive producer is Darren Clark. We've got a ton more tech and business coverage in our newsletter. If you're not subscribed, go get yourself signed up at thehustle.co/email, and we'll see you tomorrow. Hey, everybody, this great new podcast just came out, and I can't wait to tell you about it. It's called The Next Wave, AI in the Future of Technology, and it's hosted by Matt Wolf and Nathan Lands. And of course, it's brought to you by the HubSpot Podcast Network, the audio destination for business professionals. You can catch The Next Wave with Matt Wolf and Nathan Lands, who are leading AI creators who are your guiding light in the AI and technology frontier. AI technology is transforming the way we do business, and the media landscape is a bit fragmented, but The Next Wave strives to be the leading podcast on AI technology and how you can apply it to growing your business. You can listen to The Next Wave wherever you get your podcasts.